Okay, this is December the 15th, 2023, or the third day of Tishrei, 2027. We will start our first service today with a song.
I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe display. This is my soul, my Savior to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that Yahweh's Son now sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And sings my soul, my Savior to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Yahshua shall come with the shout of acclamation and take me home, a joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim my Yahweh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
And then we're going to go into Man 17. Sermon taken from One Time to Greetings number 25, and the name of the sermon is Which Nation Will Disarm and Why? It says that for the Asher, there is not but draws men unto him, for the only compulsion which he employs is the constraint of love when the church begins to seek for the support of the secular power, for it is evident that she is devoid of the power of the Yeshua, with the constraint of the divine love. That the difficulty lies with the individual members of the church, as it is here that the cure must be wrought, for Yeshua bids the accuser first cast the beam out of his own eye, renounce his sensuous spirit, confess and forsake his own sin before trying to correct others. What you need is a change of the heart. You must have this experience before you are fitted to correct others. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When a crisis comes in the life of any soul, and you attempt to give counsel or admonition, your words will have only the weight of influence for good that your own example and spirit have gained for you. You must be good before you can do good. You cannot exert an influence that will transform others until your own heart has been humbled and refined and made tender by the grace of the Yeshua. When this change has been wrought in you, it will be as natural for you to live to bless others as it is for the rose bush to yield its fragrant bloom or the vine its purple clusters. We need to pray for a change of the heart, pray for a realization that to have a sensuous spirit is even worse than to seek the aid of a secular power, and that setting a good example can be our only way of influence for the good. That's the end of our prayer thought for this here one timely greetings number 25 at the house address of January the 25th, 1947. Again, the title for this sermon is Which Nations Will Disarm and Why? And it says, to continue with the theme of our previous study of the Kingdom of Judah, and that is the Everlasting Kingdom of David, restored in these last days, as the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10. Okay, it says, we shall turn unto the book of Micah, for it consists, as you know, of the seven chapters, and they carry a continuous story of the Judah, and both her early and her latter days. For the first three chapters are concerning Judah in her early days, and the last four contain the promises unto the antitypical Judah. That would be the everlasting kingdom of David, because he was of the tribe of Judah, Yeshua came of the tribe of Judah, and so Yeshua is the son of David here in these last days, sitting upon the throne of David and his kingdom, the Judah of the latter days, of whom our main interest now is. In order for the connection of the first three chapters of the Micah with the last four, we shall begin with the last verse of chapter 3, Micah 3:12. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest, because there was nothing more than should have been done for the convincing of the Judah that she is in the wrong and that she is in the need for the returning unto the Yahshua. The Yahshua finally forewarned that her palace ground is to be plowed as a field. So that's the field of Judah in the south. Jerusalem as her capital, and that her palace and city were to become his for the fulfillment of this part of the Micah's prophecy. Is a faithful witness before all the nations, and the punishment of that people is a fair example for all people to know that the Yahweh means just what he says. For the Yahweh did not, however, cast aside his faithful few and their descendants forever. For unto them he left this comforting promise, Micah 4:1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Although Micah forespoke of the sad news for the ancient Judah, he forespoke this joyful news for the Judah of the latter days, the house of David. The lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh is Yahshua, and he's going to come and sit upon the throne of David here in this last days of the 12th parabolic hour, and the people are going to be gathered unto him from all over the world. Trying indeed must it have been for the Judah to look forward unto her own destruction. Okay. Conversely, though, it must have encouraged her to know that the time would come for her to return and to build the old waste places, to raise up the foundations of the many generations, Isaiah 58:12. And still more joyful should she now be to learn that the time for her returning unto the Yahweh and unto the homeland has actually come. In order for the to obviate any doubt in this connection, the Yahshua reaffirms his word by saying, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from the heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with the peace. For the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Yahshua for a name, for an everlasting everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Isaiah 55:10-13. We too should clap our hands even now for having this great opportunity, for the engaging in this glorious work, and for the great and grand privilege to proclaim these good tidings and to be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of past to dwell in. Isaiah 58:12. Indeed, these are the good tidings of the peace that the prophet Nahum forespoke. Nahum 1:15. When the kingdom of Judah is reestablished, that is, the everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, as reestablished by Yahshua the Son, and Yahshua the Son sits upon the throne of David, and you have that prophecy in Isaiah 9:6-8, and Luke 1:32-3, it is that the scripture is fulfilled. Micah 4:2. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yeshua of the Yahweh, and unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob. And he will, let's do that again. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yeshua. That's the Son. In Jerusalem, at the kingly palace ground, where he gathers 144,000, Revelation 14:1, and unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth at the Zion, and the word of the Yahshua from Jerusalem. So now Zion, there's a kingly palace ground, that's the capital of Judea, of the two tribes. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Yahshua. And many nations shall be joined unto the Yahshua in that day. And shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Yahshua of the host has sent me unto thee. And the Yahshua shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be solid, O all flesh, before the Yahshua, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Zechariah 2:10-13. And the Gentiles shall come unto thy light, and kings unto the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together, they come unto thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, means the wealth, their gold and silver. That's the wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. For the multitude of the camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries and the Midian and Ephah, all they from the Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. That incense is for the sanctuary service. And they shall show forth the praises of the Yahshua. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of the Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with the acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as a dove to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, for the bringing of thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Yahshua thy king. And unto the Holy One of Israel. And the Holy One of Israel is Yahshua as well, because he has glorified thee, and the sons of thy strangers shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish there. Those nations shall be utterly wasted. Isaiah 60, verse 3 to 12. Obviously, we are right at the dawn of a new day. As the day in which the gospel work, that is, the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant, by the restoration of the complete sanctuary service in this last parabolic 12th hour, is to triumph into victory and to reap an abundant harvest of the converts. Firstly, whole nations are to join the mountain of the Yahshua during the judgment day, the day in which the law goes forth of the Zion, and the word of the Yahshua from Jerusalem. From the further, from the future, a headquarters of the gospel, or of the teaching of the plan of salvation, the brother of the everlasting covenant by faith in the Yahshua, as the high priest administering his blood for the remission of your sins and the blotting out of your sins. For the time is therefore near at hand, when in the order truly to go to church, one must go to Jerusalem, and there he be taught the way of the Yeshua, and to thus walk in his path. Micah 4:3. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into their pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Many nations are gladly to accept his rebuke. Beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks, rather than continue to run in the armament race. According to Micah, the only nations that are to disarm are those that accept the Yahshua's truth for today. That's to join his kingdom by performing of their vows to perform and keep the holy days and the statutes and the judgment. That includes the seventh-day Sabbath and all the other holy days, and go into the promised land. Never again will they need either swords or spears. Micah 4:4, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of Yeshua of the host, the Son, has spoken it. For the nation peoples are now having a difficult time to get unto their fig tree, so to speak, much less to sit in peace under it. They are in the constant fear that someone may dislodge them even from their sitting under no tree. Consequently, they will try to protect their rights or unrights by beating their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears. Joel 3:10. And so, judging their own strength by their war, a preparation, even the weak will say, I am strong. For it shall be thus with those nations which join the people of the kingdom of the land, they will not need to trust in their own strength. For they shall have the assurance protection, each shall comfortably and securely sit under his own fig tree, knowing that no one can possibly push him away from under it. This is to be so, for the mouth of the Yahshua of the host, the Son, has spoken it. Micah 4:5. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Yahshua, our King, forever and ever. Those outside of the kingdom, of the everlasting kingdom of heaven, which is the same as the kingdom of David here in the last days, that the Spirit of the Yahweh cannot convince of their error, will continue to walk in the name of their false gods. But the people in the kingdom will walk in the name of the Yahshua, our King, forever and ever. Okay, Micah 4:6-7. And that day saith Yahshua, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. Okay. And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and the Yahshua shall reign over them in the Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. For the day in which Yahweh's people are gathered from all parts of the earth and brought unto Zion is at hand, and the Yahshua will reign over them henceforth forever. Micah 4:8, and thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come even the first dominion, for the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, which is the kingdom of David, shall come unto the daughter of Jerusalem. For the tower of the flocks, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, is to be the main object of the attraction in Jerusalem. And what could it be? Well, in the olden times, towers were built for the purpose of keeping a watch over the city, and so the tower of the flock must be the throne on Zion, a lofty hill, Zion's stronghold. This stronghold, you note, does not belong unto the mother, not to the ancient Zion, but unto her daughter, the anatypical Zion. Okay. There are no king. Okay, Micah 4:9-10. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselors perished? For the pangs have taken a hold, taken thee as a woman in the travail. Be in pain and labor for the bringing forth, O daughter of the Zion, like a woman in the travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go up even unto Babylon, there shalt thou be delivered. There the Yahshua shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. For these two verses take us back unto the time when the faithful of the ancient Judah cried out as they saw themselves about to be dispersed among the nations, that the encouraging counsel to labor and bring forth children while in the field, and the comforting promise of her deliverance from the antipical Babylon left her by the prophets, ever remained with her even unto this day. For the Zion is as the church of the spiritual Israel was destined to go into the Gentile nation there to multiply and at last to be delivered. For these good tidings now, just before the gathering begins, Yahshua wants us to proclaim far and wide, saying, hear the word of the Yahshua, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattereth Israel will gather them and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For Yahshua hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together unto the goodness of the Yahshua for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and their soul, let's say it again, shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sow any more at all. Jeremiah 31:10-12. Micah 4:11-12. Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Yahshua, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall give them as the sheaves into the floor. Micah 4:13. Arise and thresh, O daughter of the Zion. Okay, so the daughter of Zion is your New Testament Judah, tribe, house of Judah. The mother is Old Testament, ancient Judah. For I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Yahshua, and their substance unto the Yahshua of the whole earth. Not the daughter of Jerusalem, but the daughter of Zion is to do the threshing. And she has the promise of an iron horn, divine power, the kind that does not break. Moreover, she is promised hoofs and brass, a special and distinct message by which to beat in pieces many people. That is, she is with it for the threshing and selecting of the wheat from the chaff. I then saw the third angel, said my accompanying angel, fearful in his work, awful in his mission. He is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares, and that is gather the 144,000 as the first fruits from the Adventist church. And this angel, he is the angel that is to select. This angel is Yahshua, the Son. These things should engross the whole mind and the whole attention. Early Writings, page 118. For behold, the Yahshua will come with the fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind for the rending of his anger with the fury, and his rebuke with the flames of the fire. For by the fire and by his sword will the Yahshua plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahshua shall be many. Isaiah 66:15. This is the first separation, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, unto Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, unto Tubal and Avan, unto the isles afar off that have not heard of my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Asher out of all nations upon their horses and in chariots. And litters, and upon mules, and upon the swift beasts, and to my holy mountain, Yahushua said to Yahshua, as the children of Israel bring an offering, and a clean vessel, into the house of the Yahshua. Isaiah 6:19-20. Those that escape from the slain of the Yahshua, you know, are sent unto the Gentile nation, there for the proclaiming unto them the Yahshua's fame and his glory, and also for the bringing all of their brethren, all that can be saved, into the house of the Yahshua. From this you can plainly see that those who escape must be the first fruits, as the 144,000 Jacobites, Revelation 14:4. Those whom they bring from the Gentile nation unto the house of the Yahshua must therefore be the second fruits, Revelation 7:9. Thus where there is the first, there is also a second. Finally, you plainly see that from the purification of the church, the 144,000 escape and become the servants of the Yahweh, of the Yahshua, the Son, the remnant. Those who finish the gospel work in all of the world. Now for the summarizing, let us review the most outstanding points of this study. First, the kingdom of Judah is to be dissolved, Zion plowed as a field, and Jerusalem reduced unto heaps. Then in the latter days it is to be reestablished and exalted above the kingdoms of the Gentiles. Okay, third, when it is thus established, many nations are to go into it, and even to invite one another to go there to be taught of the Yahshua's way and to walk in his path. This is to be so because the law is to go forth of the Zion and the word of the Yahshua from Jerusalem. Fourth, the Yahshua is a judge from Zion, and from there he is to rebuke strong nations afar off. Those who accept his rebuke are to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, for the nations that join the everlasting kingdom of the David of the heaven of the Yahshua are never again to lift up a sword against their nation, nor will they long war anymore, for no longer will they need armament, for they are to be protected by a wall of fire, Zechariah 2:5. Every man is to sit under his own fig tree, and none is to make him afraid, for the Yahshua the host has spoken it. Fifth, every one of those who do not go unto Jerusalem and who do not disarm shall walk in the name of his own false Yahweh. But all who join the everlasting kingdom of the Judah, of the David, shall walk in the name of the Yahshua, our King, forever and ever. So Yahweh, the Father, will assemble and gather his people. Now this is talking about Yahshua. Number six. For the Yahshua will assemble and gather his people, the church that he, she that halted, and she that was driven out, and she that was afflicted. He will make her a strong nation, and the Yahshua shall reign over them in the Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, Israel, from henceforth even forever. 7. Unto this kingdom shall come even the first dominion. This afternoon's study shows how the gathering is to be accomplished, and the gospel work finished, and the wicked world brought unto an end. True, such a plan for the finishing of the work has not been our plan, but it is about time we realize that our plans have never been and never will be the Yahshua's plan. We had better now accept his plans if we wish to go on to Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the Jerusalem, and there to stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. A new day is dawning on us, brother, sister, and now, rather than imagining that we are rich and increased with the good and the need of nothing, we see ourselves in the need of everything. Shall we not accept these riches, truth, that are tried in the fire, and these garments of the righteousness by which to cover our nakedness? Shall we not anoint our eyes with the fresh golden oil of the truth, that we may see and know the way, that we may reach the door on time? There is no reason for the standing wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, for the Yahshua is waiting at the door of our hearts. He is anxious to pour out a blessing, to fill the cup unto overflowing. Let us not disappoint him by forcing him to pass us by. Let us now disarm and fearlessly prepare to sit in the peace under our Yahweh-given fig tree. This brings us to the end of number 25, to 100 Greetings, Volume 1. Number 26 is entitled A Worldwide Stir and Its Result. And that was February the 1st, 1947, by the Vicki Hollis. And that's One Time Greetings, number 26.